welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, on this gorgeous Monday. Got a great hour for us planned. Sean Thompson, one of the few people that's known me for about 45 years and still talks to me. So I can promise you folks, there's not a lot of them. But Sean is a great guy. He's actually, and I say this all the time, you don't have to, I think sometimes we have the misconception that mentorship and people that we look to for advice in all of it, life, you know, fatherhood, religion, spiritual journey, whatever it is, marriage, husbandry, you know, they don't have to be older than you, you know. And this is someone that, you know, got to know him very well through our men's group on Saturdays. And he has had a profound influence on my faith journey. And he's just an amazing guy. Grew up in Roslyn, Pennsylvania, youngest of five. We'll talk about his early formation. And his father is another, you know, phenomenal pipe-swinging disciple of Christ. Because, you know, he's the poster child for male Catholic role models. You know, mm-hmm. he's got no that, doubt. You know, no Golden doubt. Gloves boxer, you know, mm-hmm. in his youth, former police officer, you know, has this tough guy, you know, nobody was going to mess with mm-hmm. him, you know, for probably, you know, his 40-year career. And then, you know, and to see a man of that physical strength and stature still be humble enough in his later years to get on his knees and to show the humility of a follower of Christ, I take great comfort in his discipleship and his influence over our group. But certainly, you know, you're right in those lines of your father and the blessing that you had to witness that. We'll certainly talk about that. But let's begin, as we begin every hour, folks, in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, Sean and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship. We ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sean is, I don't say this lightly, but he is as dialed in. I think a lot of times as Catholics, we don't, you know, I feel like, and some people get upset when I say this, but we say, I get the word enough at Mass, right? I don't have to necessarily delve into the word, you know, on a hourly or daily basis. At least that's the ignorant version of my Catholicism mm-hmm. that I kind of came up with. And I think people, you know, that are outside the faith, you know, are the bashers, the haters, are, you know, will poke fun at us because we're not as diligent with scriptures as some of our Christian contemporaries. And you know, certainly, you know, we were talking in the pre-show, you know, it's probably only in the last 4 years that I've kind of delved into the word the way I need to. You know, but this is a guy, ladies and gentlemen, that is, you know, that knows the scripture unbelievably well and is able to dial it into the day-to-day of, you know, 2022 and amid all the chaos and that. But, Sean, before we get into that, tell us about your upbringing growing up, you know, youngest of five and growing up in you know, the ideal childhood neighborhood of Roslyn, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Joe, so thanks for having me. This is awesome. This is awesome. So, yeah, I would say I was spoiled growing up, and not materialistically. Like you said, my father was, you know, you go back in history, some men are loved in their neighborhood, some are feared in the community, some are respected. Somehow he was all three.
No doubt.
He was all three. So, but I was spoiled in a spiritual sense, okay? Typical Irish Catholic family. My dad was a deacon or became a deacon.
How old was he when he made that journey?
I'd have to say he was about 50.
Okay.
Yeah, about 50. Five-year journey.
Yep.
And when my parents retired, he became a deacon for St. Peter's up in the Poconos.
Nice.
Okay, so... So, yeah, growing up, I'll tell you, it was, I remember my father telling me one time what the scripture says about to whom much is given, much is expected.
Amen.
And the fact that we didn't have anything, I knew it must have been something else. It definitely wasn't money or materialistic.
Sure.
You know, we were in a small little rancher in Roslyn, blue collar area. So he was referring to who much is given from God. Spiritually, much is expected.
Amen.
So I knew that he planted seeds when I was young, and it didn't take much. It really didn't. He didn't have to pound it into me. He didn't have to. He lived by example.
Amen.
So the little bit of preaching he did, it really resonated because it was real. You know, he lived what he said.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So. And that way I was spoiled. And then I went to Abingdon High School, played soccer. I got a partial scholarship for soccer. I played soccer and lacrosse, got a scholarship to Westchester. I couldn't wait to go. And my older sister, who happened to graduate from Westchester, told my father, oh, no. I was having fun. I was ready to party. And she said, Dad, don't let him go, please. So he says, you're going to Steubenville.
Nice.
And... I tried to negotiate, and I didn't want to go. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, we're going to pay for 1 year. So you go to Franciscan University of Steubenville for 1 year. If you don't like it, you're free to go wherever you want. I said, done, deal. My goal is to go have a blast. Right?
Sure.
I got hooked.
You know what? It's really, and we'll talk about that next, but it's, I guess I'm pretty critical of some of the Catholic universities, you know, across the country, because I don't think a lot of them, I think, have lost their Catholic identity and their Catholic way. But when I think of devoutly, unapologetically Catholic universities, I think of Ave Maria in
yep.
Florida.
Yep.
And I think of Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. So, you know, being a... And I look back at our journey, right, because we're in the same cohort, but it was, that had to be a bit of a transformation, because you're around people that are truly on fire for the Lord. When I think of Franciscan, I'm thinking of, you know, almost like, you know, the evangelicals in terms of the Catholic faith. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And tell us about your experience at Steubenville and how that was big in your faith formation.
Well, it's interesting, and my dad told me when we left, my mother and father, and they drove me out there. My dad said, "You know, son," he says, "you know, there's currents, and the world's in one current, and we're in another current, and the current at Steubenville is going the right way. So it's going to be, if you're going to rebel, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be swimming up the current." So,
That's a great visual.
I just hope you go with the current that's at Steubenville, and not the current of the world. And it worked. He must know what he's doing, because after the first year, when I came home, I remember just thinking, I felt like I lost something. It's another world. You're living in a community where everybody thinks alike, okay? And they're on fire, and it's upbeat and positive. They're on fire for the Lord. And then you leave that, and you're back in the world, and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is... I can't wait to get back now.
Sure.
So sure enough, I'm back there my sophomore year. We started the Prodigal Son household, and I think they still have that household. It's like a fraternity You know, this is 30 years later. It's still there.
Wow, but, that's awesome.
Yeah, so.
And met your wife out there, right?
Met my wife out there.
Where's she from originally?
She is from Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay.
Went to Thoreau Episcopal Church.
Yep.
Same place as Justice Clarence Thomas. And she was a youth group leader in a Bible study, youth group leader, the whole nine. So she was, you know, her she was on fire. And
how did she end up at Franciscan?
Her mother was, I think, charismatic and Catholic / Episcopal. And so she was tied into the whole network. So sure. She, you know, she wanted her daughter to stay out of trouble. So same thing. She sent her out there not knowing she'd meet a Irish kid from Philly. So so coincidentally, yeah, we got married. And coincidentally, we have in the Thompson family about maybe six marriages that were formed at Steubenville.
No way.
Yeah, six That's or seven pretty marriages. Awesome, yeah, yeah.
Now, did your father, other than just respect his, you know, of the university, was there a connection with your father with Franciscan? Or
I don't know how he found it. He found it through just his group, his contacts.
That's awesome.
You know? Oh, I know. Actually, I do remember the story. He went to a pro-life rally. And at that pro-life rally, he noticed a bunch of kids in one group who were different. And he said, man, there's something special about these kids. They are on fire. And he went to find out. He said, where are you from? And they said, Franciscan University. So he found Franciscan through the way the students acted at a pro-life rally.
Funny you said that, brother, because we didn't even talk about this, but went down to the March for Life.
Yeah,
and
right.
A couple months ago in D.C., my daughter and I and my son went down, and the beauty of that experience for me was I felt really good and invigorated leaving there because it was a young movement. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I was
right.
Most of the people down there were, the average age had to be like 24, 25, honestly. But Franciscan University, like of all the colleges that were down there with banners, they were like vigilant and I would, this is going to be a blanket statement, but I venture to say they had more representation mm-hmm. at the pro-life march than any other college at the place. And, so it was funny you said that, but it's I've always had mad respect for that place because everyone I know there went there, faith filled and left there, like years later, still walking the walk. And
right.
it's got to be a special place. And I know a lot of people that went there whose kids, the ultimate compliment is if you send your child there. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, you know, look at the McCarthys and
yeah,
other families
right.
that I know who's, you know, believed in it so much that, you know, after their experience, they ended up sending their own kids there. So so your wife goes there as an Episcopalian.
Yep.
How do we just take a hammer to the head, or what did we do? You said, hey, you know, I got an opportunity for you to marry a poor Catholic kid from outside of Philly, right? How do we make that conversion?
Well, she went with it. She went with it. I mean, you know, the current was there, was Catholic. I was Catholic. We were in love. She says, "I'll follow you anywhere." So
that's awesome.
She followed me, and Episcopals aren't that far off.
No, no, no.
It's close.
Yep.
It's close. So it was an easy transition.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So life is good. You're
yep.
cruising. You're
yep.
you know, you're climbing professionally. Your family is multiplying, as the Bible says. And the thing I always appreciate as much as any friend I have, Sean, you're always drilling down. And I feel like, and that's the ultimate compliment. Like I feel like, you know, I know for me, not that I'm a fair weather follower, because I don't think I am, but I look, I'm most devout when I'm most in need.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I don't say
right.
that bragging. I say that like with some embarrassing inflection, honestly. But like you're just drilling down. You are being fed, you know, as much as any person, if not more than any person. And and you know, you're staying on the vine, and you're just you're constantly being fed. Some of it is, you know, your church participation, your group participation, but a lot of it, it's your personal journey. And I think we laugh a little bit at our men's group on Saturday. It's like, you know, I look back for 48 years, I would scoff at the idea of, hey, do you have a personal relationship with, you know, the old born again mentality?
Yeah.
Hey, do you have a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And I would laugh and judge it and be like, you know, no. But like, we should all. I mean, Catholics, I mean, like, that's what he's calling us to have. You know, I look back at my ignorance with that. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm Catholic, you know, and we do everything communally. But that's not enough, you know, and you know, that should be an augmentation or an affirmation of the personal relationship that you have. And I think you, more than any person I know or in my life, I say that with great respect, because you're just always drilling down. You're always dialing into the Word. You're always what's next? What's more? How do I get closer? And I think I take great inspiration from that as a fellow disciple. And I know I speak for a lot of guys in our group, just in terms of the knowledge, the energy, the humility that you bring every single week to our men's group. It doesn't go unnoticed. I promise you that.
Mm.
So, you know, there you are. You're climbing the corporate ladder. Life is good. Your family's multiplying. And then probably what now, 10 years ago, we're saying? Because it was a seven-year.
Yeah, so I started getting into the Scripture. I started reading the Word. And something happened. I just really wanted more. I had a desire. I really had that burning desire within. And I may have asked for it, and maybe the Lord gave it to me. I'm not sure. I know I was asking to be led on the right path, as Proverbs 3:5-6 says. And that getting into the Word, it's interesting, because now I always wanted to challenge myself spiritually, okay? I knew that I needed to be content materialistically, but not content spiritually.
Mm.
And I knew that was important. Maybe that was drilled into me from my father. So it was something about the Word, and the more I got into it, the more I challenged my own faith. I challenged even the Catholic Church. Am I in the right spot? Is this where I'm supposed to be? And I started challenging my own faith, my church, even my upbringing. But it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit, because really what I did, I broke myself down. I pulled away from the world. I pulled away from anything that was prideful in me. My Irish heritage, these are all good things. My Irish heritage, that's a good thing. I pulled back.
Sure.
My Catholic pride, I had a lot of Catholic pride.
Sure.
I pulled back. My family, I was proud of my family, my Thompson family. I went to Steubenville. This is me.
Yep.
I broke it all down as a plebe going to the Annapolis or a young man joining the military. They break him down to nothing.
Strip you down.
And I was going through that. So it's a little unexplainable. But what happened was it led me a couple different events and a couple bad homilies. The next thing you know, I'm at Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia, which is unheard of.
Sure.
You know. And then I went again, and I was at a men's group, and it was unexplainable, because I'm walking on enemy territory now.
Sure.
You know,
we got a live one here.
I'm not supposed to be there. My dad's a deacon. Like, this isn't right. And sure enough, Joe, that place is awesome. They're in love with the Lord. They're on fire. They, like I told you earlier, they grip their Bible like we grip the rosaries. Okay. But that's all they're feeding off of. You know, we have the fullness. That's all they're feeding off of is the Word. And I couldn't figure out how is this working? Because I always said, this is the only faith is the Catholic faith. How are they thriving?
One true faith.
Yeah. How's the Holy Spirit here? The Holy Spirit's in that building. I couldn't figure it out. And next thing you know, it's 7 years later, you know, but.
Well, you're still being fed. That's what
the whole
thing is.
You're still being fed.
You're still being fed.
So that was an interesting journey. And I'm sure my
family. Your wife accompanies you on the journey, right?
Yeah, I pulled her to becoming Catholic in college, and now I'm pulling her to go back to non-denominational church. She said, okay, I'll follow you again. So she did. And what's interesting is I challenged my Catholic faith from the Word. Now I'm challenging the non-denominational evangelical faith, and I started questioning that based on the Word. And, you know, I started really pondering these things, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
You know, scriptures say Mary pondered these things in her heart. Do we take time out of our lives to just ponder the Word of God and to ponder what God's doing? And I spent a lot of time, early morning prayer is what changed it all for me. Early morning prayer with the scripture, prayer and scripture. That was key. And the Holy Spirit. So during the journey, I started questioning sola scriptura. I loved the idea of sola scriptura. I was all in. You know, when I cut all the fat out and I slimmed down to nothing, I had sola fide, sola scriptura,
sure.
Christ alone, scripture alone, faith alone. So I'm questioning that part of that camp, and I'm thinking sola scriptura isn't in the Bible. So to come up with that doctrine, you're actually going to have to pull that out of your own reasoning and maybe the Holy Spirit, but then it defeats the whole idea of sola scriptura,
sure,
because it's not in there. Another thing that brought me, was turning me back to the Catholic faith, was I started reading the Catechism. And I'm not a reader.
Sure.
I'm not an intellect. So I'm a slow learner.
I'm with you, brother.
I got straight B's.
I'm a high rep guy, yeah, no doubt.
I got straight B's in Abington and Steubenville.
Sure.
I was consistent, but I got straight B's. So, I started turning back, reading the Catechism, and the other doctrine was faith alone. And I started investigating the scripture. When I saw the only scripture that talks about faith alone, and the entire scripture is, we are not saved by faith alone, in James. So now I have a challenge ahead of me. And I really thought, man, am I going back to being Catholic after 5, 6, 7 years? You know, I really had to question myself.
Sure.
Although the Holy Spirit was there, I was in a great place. Okay.
Absolutely.
Not to let that go.
That was part of God's plan for you.
That was part of God's plan. Love those people.
Definitely.
I'm not there anymore, but I love those people.
No doubt.
And my thought was, boy, if I could have that man at Joe Foch at Calvary Chapel preach for an hour and make that the homily at a mass,
sure,
you could have the whole,
you could have
the whole thing.
And I think one of the reasons you have so much clout with our group is that, like, you bring an evangelical approach to the Catholic faith. And I think, that's... You know, I look back again for years when I was like, there's no place for that. No, that's everything.
It's everything.
It's everything. Yeah. You have to be on fire now more than ever, man. If you're not on fire, and then you led the group Saturday, and the overwhelming consensus was like, dude, if you're not on fire now for the Lord, we have none of us have a shot. Our kids don't have a shot. Any of it. Let me ask you this. So, you know, there you are, your father, you know, bigger than life figure in town, checking every box, you know. Authentic masculinity, tough guy, you know, law enforcement, you know, accomplished boxer, you know, professional, devout Catholic deacon now. I mean, or an ordained deacon. Like, was there a conversation about you walking away, or was that just kind of something that you kind of just let evolve and we didn't talk about much?
The word was, my sisters were like, Dad, go do something, and he
sure.
said, No, let it go.
It's in God's hands.
It's in God's hands. And like I said, many novenas were praying.
Sure.
So they're panicking, and I'm thinking, well, this is, I'm loving life, like I'm getting closer and closer to the Lord. And you talk about, and I pondered this too. So the personal relationship, they talk about have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I wanted to see, where is that in the Catholic faith? And it's intimacy, and the saints talk about intimacy.
Sure.
So when you find something that both faiths teach, you got to ask yourself, am I living that? They talk about a personal relationship in this camp, Catholic Church, intimacy. It's all about intimacy. And if you look at the first the first sentence in the catechism is, Father, this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. It's the first that's the church saying, this is eternal life, that we may know you and know your Son. And if you think about the word know, I mean, you look through Scripture, it starts way back in Genesis. Adam and Eve. Adam knew Eve. And you look at the word know all through Scripture, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. So this sounds really personal, really intimate.
Sure.
So for me, to get to really know the Lord, it was through his word. If you think about being intimate with your wife.
Sure.
Not just the physical intimacy, but if you're going to have a strong relationship with your wife, to know her, she's going to want to get an emotional connection. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have that emotional connection through the word, and then you have the physical connection. Well, in the Mass, it's the same thing. You have the Liturgy of the Word, Liturgy of the Eucharist. I mean, that's...
So was that what brought you back eventually? Was it the Eucharist?
No. The Eucharist was obvious. Sure, I heard all the time, you're not getting the Eucharist. I know that. That's the obvious. You can't fight that. That's obvious. For me, the Word, since I was so into the Scriptures, and I didn't... I heard Scott Hahn, and he was popping up on my phone. I said, I'm not going to listen to that guy, Scott Hahn. I know what he's about. He'll convert me sure. like that. So I stayed away from Scott Hahn. I said, I want this to be my journey. And it was reading the Mass. After knowing Scripture, now the Mass was a whole new thing for me. The Mass was unbelievable. When you know Scripture, you're going to love the Mass. You're going to appreciate the Mass. You know, I hear about people saying how boring Mass is. Mass used to be boring for me. Now I love it. There's more Scripture in the Mass than meeting you can have.
The Psalms. You got Old Testament, New Testament,
everything.
Psalms. I mean,
Book of Revelations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything. So it was me tying into the Mass. But I held back. I didn't make any moves. But I was heading in that direction.
How many kids do you have at this point?
When you left, you had how many? When I left, I had three. And then Johnny, our fourth, was born. He's 11, so he was born in back in when I was 40. We had my son. So the biggest turning point, which we talked about, is this. And you know, this is just obvious when God gets involved. There's sure. just no way denying it. 7 years into being fed at Calvary Chapel, I told my wife I joined a Bible study, because what Calvary Chapel does is they plant small Bible studies at different homes in the region, and some of them form into a local church, which
makes
is
sense.
A great
yeah,
idea,
no doubt,
right?
Definitely.
So,
talk about grassroots, right? You're doing it at the grassroots level.
Yeah. So I tell my wife, good news. I met some people. I'm in the Bible study, Calvary Chapel. She says, oh, yeah? Who's going to be there? I said, well, you know, what do you mean? Well, who, men and women? I said, yeah. She said, you're not going to that. I said, what's the big deal? She said, I grew up with Bible studies. I know what they talk about, how personal they get. You need a men's only Bible study. You're not. I said, they don't
Great
have
advice.
It. They don't have it. What am I? So we got in a fight. Within a couple days, I get a phone call. It's Steve DiGiuseppe and my friend Sean McCarthy were starting a men's Bible study,
yep.
Catholic Bible study. And I said, you got to be kidding me. This is, talk about timing.
Talk about getting thrown from the horse, right?
It's like a bill. Like God's got a billboard for you, neon lights.
That's awesome.
So that was really the icing on the cake for me for going back to the Catholic faith. It was happening right when I was really missing the Mass.
That's awesome. We're going to come back after these messages. Yep. Folks, we'll be right back. Sean Thompson, right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, here with Sean Thompson. Our topic tonight is rebirth, the long road back. So, Sean, there you are. Sean and Steve reach out to you. You get hit with the lightning bolt. You say, man, no such thing as a coincidence.
Yeah, right.
And then really, you know, I consider you a founding member of the group, too, because it was, you know, back now it's blessed to have, you know, probably over 50 people. I mean, I think what we had probably had 30 people at Sunday, at Saturdays.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
right.
You know, back then it was probably six to eight people, and you were, you know, you were one of those original members. And right from jump, you just bought it. And not only did you bring an energy, but you bought a different energy because it was, there was a knowledge. You know, you talk about knowing, right? You know, like reference in the Bible with, you know, Adam knew Eve. But, you know, your knowledge about who you were, what your journey was, and what you were looking for, this was just, people were, you know, instantly attracted to that. You know, and I'm thinking of your father, and, you know, I think he has like a little bit of just, he's got guru status in the group because he doesn't say a lot, but when he talks, it's like, you know, everyone, even if, you know, throughout the hour, people might be looking at their phone, but when your old man talks, it's like, boom. Something important is going to be said here. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, I worry, you know, as a father, right? And, you know, what's your legacy going to be, right? You know, like that, at the end of the day, it's not, it really isn't. It's not, you know, how much the life insurance is in the account and what you're leaving them, you know, with resources and money. But the legacy is going to be what kind of husbands they are, what kind of fathers they are, what kind of, you know, followers and disciples they're going to be. You know, and for him to have just that ultimate trust in God, you know, because everything about him is an alpha male, and a fixer, and a provider, and a protector. You know, that would have been like, oh, dude, come here, we're gonna have a talk. You know, we're gonna go down the elbow room and have a couple words here. But just like to leave it to God and to be persistent. And I know, I said to you in the pre-show. You reference Monica and Augustine a lot, you know, because she was, you know, here he is. He becomes one of the four founders of the church in the 300s. And then, you know, he not only didn't he take to the faith, but he made fun of her faith for her first, you know, for his first 18 to 25 years. You and your God, where is he now? You know, he would just he would constantly poke fun of her and all her followers. But that had to be your dad. Was there a conversation, or did you just appear one day back in the fold, or how did that go down?
Boy, that's a good one. I kind of just appeared back in the fold.
Nice.
Yeah, he wasn't pushing.
Yeah.
He wasn't pushing, so, you know, he must really have a lot of trust. I mean, he was the guy that, growing up, I'm waiting for my buddies to pull up in a Chevy Nova so we can go get beer. And he got two guys out there who were ex-Catholics and one's an atheist, and they see my father saying, let's go, guys, in the back for rosary. All they can say is, yes, Mr.
Absolutely.
Thompson.
Who's going to tell him, though?
Right. So, you know, he's pulling him back before we go getting underage drinking,
sure.
Even. No. He's, you're saying the rosary, right?
That's awesome.
So that was his style. But, you know, he didn't chase me down. He let me do my thing. And it worked out in the end. So, yeah, so there's a lot of trust in the Lord there.
Well, yeah, and you brought up an interesting point. I mentioned this a couple different times, probably in the last year, like, and Brian McCarthy called me out on it, and that was the shift in paradigm for me. But, like, I was complaining about the, you know, just the bad homilies and trying to rotate and find a good priest and kind of a disenchanted, jaded, this is awful, blah, blah, blah. And when I look back on it now, that was probably, you know, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'm responsible for myself to be fed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I bringing? Like, this isn't a pep rally. First of all, what makes us uniquely Catholic? Obviously, Scripture is a big part of it. But it is this sacramental grace that comes with the sacramental mass, and it's the body and blood of Christ. It's not a replica. It's not. It doesn't. It's not a symbol. This is the body and blood of Christ. And
if you truly believe that,
yeah.
You don't need entertainment.
No,
you don't need music.
And that's exactly absolutely. Don't,
you don't need
and
it.
And I think, you know, certainly there's days and when the busyness of life happens, and you know, I always try to, but rarely accomplish it. Like, just, you know, you talk about getting up and the contemplative prayer in the morning and just, you know, the stillness of the silence at 5 a.m. or, you know, trying to deal to your first hour of the day is you try to, you know, to be in prayer. And then I find myself sometimes, you know, you're hustling the kids to church and, you know, so-and-so got out of the shower late and, you know, you got 5,000, what am I going to do today after church? You know, the 5,000 things you're going through and, you know, you end up going there. It's such a busy place. Not always a bad place, but you go there with your 5,000 thoughts racing, mm-hmm. That you feel like, you know, you're not, your level of focus and energy and openness to the Word and the Eucharist isn't what it needs to be. But, you know, when he called me out on that, you know, and that was kind of that changed my whole paradigm. I mean, I was like, it's again, if I have a personal relationship, you know, then I'm going to be fed, mm-hmm. You know, and I'll always be grateful for Brian calling me out on that, because I think a lot of times we all have friends and family that rely on the flawed human leadership that we get. That's not why we're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if I hope that the weeding out process of bad priests, you know, is the worst is behind us. I think it is, but you know, there's still some holy people that are flat and not engaging and not great storytellers or not, you know, don't command an audience very well. And that's irrelevant, really. You know, it shouldn't matter at all, you know.
Well, I really think and believe and hope that we as Catholics can get back into the Word. And I've said it. Sean McCarthy has said it. We talk about if you pay attention to the Word and you see, just in Genesis, you see the devil spoke. Now, for paying attention to the Word, he should have never opened his mouth, because he just revealed the battle. And the first four words he said was, did God really say?
No doubt.
So we know that the spiritual warfare is against God's Word. And it's going to be in every form you could imagine.
Till the end of time.
Till the end of time. His word's going to be attacked. The devil should have never opened his mouth. For those who are paying attention or into the Lord and into his word, we know what the battle's about. And if you look at the different parts of the armor of God, there's one that's a weapon, and that's the word of God is the sword of the Spirit.
Mm.
So, again, we used to joke around growing up, oh, those Protestants are Bible thumpers. You know, they're Bible thumpers. One day at Bible study, I printed out every scripture quote that was in the New Testament that was Old Testament.
Yep, I was there for that. Yep.
It was a thick packet. And it was just it wasn't the quote, it was just the verse.
Sure.
It was 17 pages long.
Amazing.
And guys got worried. Are we supposed to memorize this? I was just trying to make a point. Look at how much Jesus was a Bible thumper over and over and over, quoting the Old Testament. I mean, he quoted Deuteronomy like 17 times.
Sure.
And he didn't have the New Testament.
Yeah.
We have the New Testament. So, you know, it's the sword of the Spirit. And if you think about it, Mary offset what Satan said in Genesis about the word of God, about did he really say this? And her five words at the wedding at Cana was, do whatever he tells you, right? So you got the devil saying, did he really say this? And
sure.
She's saying, do whatever he tells you. And it's almost like it's being repeated all through time. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Then you have the world saying, did he really say that? Did he really say that? So the word of God is so valuable. And we got to admit it, man, as Catholics growing up, we didn't study. We didn't study the Bible.
No.
We didn't study. And for whatever reason, it's just through generations, you know, the church protected the word of God, okay, for good reasons and bad reasons. I don't know. You know, it's history. But I feel it's time for us to know the word, to know what he's saying.
Well, the other thing, too, about it, and I've only come to this realization the last couple of years, but, like, it's undefeated because it's as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and, you know, you're constantly referencing, you know, things that happen, you know, a quote in 200 or 300 A.D. and you know, the end of times or parent fatherhood or marriage.
Marriage,
all of it. It's like the applicability today. It is the living word. It's not a document that belongs in a museum. It's a living word that you know, and you and Sean joke about it a lot. Like, it should be worn out. It should be should be tabs. It should be highlighted. It's you know, it's a book of medicine. It's not something to be, you know, preserved on a shelf.
Right.
You know, it should be worn out, and the pages should be, you know, thin and frayed, and you know, and I agree with that. I think, you know, I know you talk about one of the things before we have time, but I wanted to make sure I got to it, was your prayer life, you know, and you talk about, you know, one of the things that really changed for you in your prayer life is what you're doing in the mornings when you first wake up. Tell the audience about that.
Well, we, you know, looking at scripture, you see what Jesus did without any words, without him even speaking, in Matthew and Mark. It says Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, left the house, went to an isolated, deserted place and prayed. And he did it often. It says he often did that. It also says, the scripture says, oftentimes he would pull back away from the crowd and go off and pray on his own. So that's not Jesus even speaking yet about what we're supposed to do.
Sure.
That's just an example. And that's Mark, because Mark is a lot of just pictures.
Yep.
It's not a lot of words. It's pictures. So you get a picture of Jesus, and if we're supposed to follow him, there's a good example. And we I don't even think it's optional, because the world is louder today than it's ever been.
Doubt.
It's busier today, louder today. And you think of all the saints in the past, they had quiet time. We don't have it.
No.
You have to
multitask.
You got to get away.
Yeah,
multitasking. You got to get away. You got to find some place. You know, they talk about the inner room. The Protestants talk about a prayer closet. I heard that at the Protestant church, prayer closet. Well, in Scripture, it's the inner room. Just get away. Get, and your Father will reward you for what no one will see. He'll reward you for that prayer time. It's amazing what the Scripture says.
No, so you get up. Your prayer time is daily and throughout the day, but.
It's
foundation.
I got to do it in the morning before everything gets, you know, hitting me. I'm not able to handle everything. I got to get early. And if the dog is up or my daughter, and I'm not great at fasting, I'm weak, but I realize the times when I did fast, food wasn't a distraction. Even food. I have 1 hour. I designate 1 hour. I get up at 5. I'm up from 5 to 6. I want to beat the family. I'm even distracted with my own stuff, food and all, and I got to get this, I got to go to the bathroom, I got to make this. How about I just not even bother with anything and just ponder?
Be still.
Yeah, be still, right?
Be still and know that I am Lord.
Lord. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I think that's a good move. If anybody's wondering what to do, that's a good place to start.
I know for me, it changed. I'm at my absolute best, and that's not necessarily saying much. But when I start my day off like that,
yeah,
I feel like even on busy days, I don't feel like hurried. You know, I feel like I can just like offer everything up. Your anxieties, your failures, your successes, you know, and then just trying like just for me just. And I used to think it was weird, but like, you know, contemplative prayer, silent prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just right. Listening, right? Like, just speak, Lord, your servant is listening, you know? Because you can't, and again, that's another thing, like, that was always hard for me, because in Catholic formation, it's all what? Resuscitation.
Right.
Everything, right. You know, you have, and even now, a lot of our great things that are, make us uniquely Catholic, but they're. Their prayers, their series of prayers, you know, the rosary, the novena, the Station of the Cross. It's all, you know, but the power that comes in listening to God speaking to you and through you, because no you doubt. Can't speak and listen at the same time.
No doubt.
You have to choose. But, and it was very hard for me. And Richard Rohr wrote an amazing book. It's called Falling Upward. He was a contemplative priest, but the play on words there, falling upward, like, you know, the further you fall, the higher you raise spiritually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. So, but he wrote a great book on contemplative prayer, and just like, so I try and start my day out, you know, I'm addicted to coffee, so I usually start, the first thing I do when I wake up is make the pot.
Same.
And
yeah.
Then I'll sit in my chair with my coffee in darkness, and I'll try and start out the day with 10 to 15 minutes of just silence.
Yep.
You know, and just, you know, just trying, Lord, I, you know, be present with me today, and just, I'm going to be open here.
I need 20 just to wake up. two cups of coffee is 20 minutes.
I need 15 just to unload all the minion thoughts that are in my head before he can, the brain's not big enough to handle his thoughts and my thoughts. So I gotta release all my, my little thoughts, but it's been transformational for me. Let me ask you this: so, you know, one of the things that I think you and I were talking earlier about, you know, the standard and you know, trying to navigate between tolerance and, you know, accountability, you know, and stuff like that. And but one of the, you know, I feel like. In the last two or three years, you know, I feel like I've become unapologetically Catholic, and that's what Clarence Thomas has used that phrase before, and his journey is remarkable, as we were talking about. But I feel like, you know, there's a pride and an evangelical approach now that I have, you know, stealing something from the our Protestant brothers and sisters, but. You know, it's like, hey, man, this is important enough. My part of our job is to bring people with us on the journey, you know. But, you know, so as I think I've tried to dial into my unapologetically Catholic faith, one of the things I love about our faith is that so many different platforms to worship. You know, you have the sacramental mass, right, which, to your point, nothing replaces that. But you have... adoration, confession, stations, novenas. With you in your faith journey, are there any of those platforms that appeal to you more than others, or that you feel are like just really a big part of your fabric of your spiritual journey?
Well, growing up, we always did the rosary. Yep. You know, that was like the family rosary. That was it, the family rosary. And yeah, sure, novenas weren't. You know, they were, it was the rosary and mass. I mean, they were the one-two punch growing up as a Catholic. That was my father's. I remember waking up for school and as a little kid and walking in the kitchen. It was dark and I could see a figure through the kitchen. And I realized it was my father who I looked up to on his knees.
Mm.
And that's like, wait a minute. What's he doing on his knees? He's the big boss man and cop and... boxer, and everybody respect, and he's on his knees. Mm. That was big.
What an image.
That was big. So it was all about the rosary.
Do you do anything with, because I'm, as I think about that question, I'm a little embarrassed, because we don't have enough of those traditions in my family. You know, like, and as I'm thinking about this, I'm probably going to try and contemplate this on the ride home, but, you know, like, you know, anything from a, because tradition, you look at, you know, we were talking about the early part of the church, you know, there's, you think of the first couple hundred years of the church, right, where nobody could read.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the oral traditions of the church that had to be passed down, and then the cost of writing the witnesses with the gospels and the letters and you know, the New Testament. Like
there's no printing press.
No. Like, think about that. And it was like, so the oral tradition mm-hmm. of the faith,
yeah.
you know, probably 300-400 years before, you know, ah, okay, so this is, and then for you to have access to, you know, Augustine talks about, like, you know, he'd have writers and stuff, like, but like only the elite, you know, whether it was the spiritual elite or the social elite, had enough money to write, you know, to have yeah. to hire people to write for them.
Right.
You know, and then hey, you have, and then if you're evangelizing, you know, there's no written word in those first 250 years to delve into. So you had to kind of like the oral traditions of the faith, you know, and I the last time we did a rosary as a family, man, it was when my wife and I renewed our vows over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's embarrassing. Like, because we're present enough, you know, even though they're at college, they're still around enough. But I wish, obviously, we go to Mass and, you know, we pray together, but not like in that tradition, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what helped my family. So timing was key, because I was so into the scripture that I was having them read scripture. Like right now, I have my son, he's 11. I tell him, did you memorize Psalm 23 yet?
Mm.
You know? Well, yeah, I got, you know, so far I got through the halfway through whatever. So I don't push them, but I remind them once a week, hey, how far, you know, Psalm 23, how you doing? What's it looking like? You know, it's the first psalm I memorized, and, sure. and I carried into work years ago through hard times, and it consoles me. And I want him to do the same thing when he gets older, and he goes
through. Because it'll be an anchor for him.
It'll be an anchor, yeah. That scriptural verse, that psalm. So I think you can, you know, I think that if you, okay, you got the rosary, but also how about family scripture? We're going to read the psalm together. Let's pick it apart. What do you think? Because they're smarter than you think.
No doubt.
And if they start tying scripture together, and they say, wait a minute, this is genius when you tie it all together. Because
yeah.
it's all, you get one topic, it's tied into another verse and another verse, and you find out the whole thing is interwoven.
Interconnected.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing.
Let me ask you this. So, You know, your son's 11.
Yeah.
Okay, and say he's 17, and he says, "Yeah, Dad, it's the Catholic thing's not for me." Is that age appropriate? Is it, at what point are you gonna let him go? And I'm asking myself this too. My daughter's 17, and she's, you know, I think she's continues to elevate her desire to know the Lord. You know, but I think a lot of it, like, you know, there's times when she would love to sleep through Mass on Sunday.
Sure, sure.
And that's not an option.
Sure.
But, you know, at what point are you going to say, okay, it's, hey, man, I watered the seeds, I planted the seeds, and I watered them, and now I'm going to let you, if it's not even to just leave the, let's say, hey, I'm.
Boy, that'd be tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Or Billy. Tough. I went to Billy's church today, Dad, and he's a Lutheran, and, you know, I really think I'm, you know, I'm going to go there.
If he didn't lose faith in God and he was learning the scripture, I wouldn't be as worried. What I'd be worried about is just walking away from God altogether.
No,
that
definitely
would be devastating. No, to go to a church that's a Bible-believing church where he's going to learn the Word of God, and he's 17, he's way ahead of my curve.
Yep.
I started doing that when I was 35, 40, right?
Sure.
So So no, I think just losing faith in God altogether would be really tough. Just turning away altogether, right? That would be tough.
Yeah. It was funny. I was talking earlier. Mike Reichenbach, you know, was on my show last week, and he was talking about, you know, he's done amazing work in the Germantown section of the city, and bought a school, and now they're trying to get funds to upgrade, you know, all of it, technology, facilities, wow, renovations, and making it like a home away from home for boys to keep them off the streets. You know, amazing stuff. He's truly doing God's work, you know. But and they, obviously an 8-year NFL veteran, you know, but the NFL doesn't commit to Christ-centered. It's got to be under the umbrella, the loosely knitted, spirituality. It can't be, you know, it can't be Christ-centered organizations.
It has to be spirituality.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of, yeah, it was kind of interesting when he said that. Let me ask you this. When I ask some of my guests this, you know, here you are, you're one of five. Everyone's kind of has a, what I would call a high level of commitment in their journey to their faith. You know, you have friends that aren't there.
We
talk about all the time. We have family members that aren't there. Cousins, you may have.
Right.
I got brothers, sisters. You might have cousins. Like the giftedness of faith.
Wow.
Like it always amazes me, because some people in my life they grew up in the same environment.
Yeah, right.
You know, some people that you grew up with, cousins or friends, you know, you may have went to St. John of the, you know, you went to St. John of the Cross Church with. Like, is it gift? I know Christ wills all people to be saved. We know that,
yeah.
But the giftedness of it, I feel like some of us have a head start on that a little bit. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things. It's like, if there's any mysteries in our faith, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
The mystery of salvation and the mystery of, you know, who can, like Paul says, who can dive into the depths of the mysteries of God. And I don't know. I really don't know.
Sure.
I mean, we only know what he told us, and that God calls, God makes the first move, and he calls each one of us by name. And, you know, it seems like some people just don't respond until they're later on in life. All we can do is preach the gospel. And, you know, like you said, being a witness, even in work, we do have an advantage when we're around people. You don't have to push the gospel. You can just live it.
Sure.
Because you're going to see him day in and day
out. I always screw it up, but Aquinas... preach the gospel and when necessary use words.
Yeah.
I'm saying Aquinas, but I don't even know if it was him. But there's a lot of merit in that statement.
There's a lot of merit, and that works when you're it's people you're around day in and day out.
Absolutely.
Like in the corporate world or at your job, you have that luxury,
no doubt,
to live your faith, and eventually they're going to turn and say what it is about you.
Yeah, I mean, what a great topic you delved into as you led us on Saturday was, you know, asking young people and all of us really to distinguish joy,
mm-hmm, yeah,
from pleasure,
right?
You know, and I mean, I know we're all pleasure seeking, like, you know, we're all no delayed gratification. I need it now. I need more of it, you know, and you know, with the black hole of that consumption, right? America is now a consumption,
mm-hmm,
country, and We're all constantly consuming, but if we consume more of the Lord, we'll all be better off. So,
amen.
This has been awesome, brother.
Wow.
Love you, man.
Thanks,
look forward, Joe, to seeing you on Saturday.
Thank
folks,
you.
We're signing off here at 6 o'clock. God bless everybody. Sean, thanks for always amazing insight, particularly with the scripture. Love you, brother.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Absolutely.
Love
folks,
you, man.
Have a great week. See you next week.